Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
But let me see this guy. Look at Doug Benson. How you doing, buddy?
Look at him. Everyone look at him.
Everybody stare at him as he walks in. How you doing, my man? Good to finally have you in the studio.
It's good to be here.
Stop with your stupid success that you sell out all these shows and we can never get you in here anymore.
Well, you know, I think there's a few tickets left for tonight.
Not anymore.
Don't say that.
Not after today, there's not.
Oh, right? You guys are powerful in the area.
We're blowing it out now. Now, we had Cheech and Chong in here one time together.
Yeah.
You are the new generation's Cheech and Chong.
That's what some people might say, I guess.
Right? You don't even have eyes anymore. Let me see. Look at it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is I usually walk into studios and stuff with the sunglasses on,
so, right?
You know, just to ease people into it.
No, I like it. I want to see it.
Like, you know, because then when I've got these on, I could just sit here with my eyes closed. Nobody knows.
Yeah, right. But then when you leave, everybody goes, "You said douche wore sunglasses when he was in the studio."
Yeah, you can't wear them the whole time.
No, yeah.
People want to see your eyes. It's so weird when people stop me for a selfie if I've got sunglasses on. Sometimes they'll say, "Will you take your glasses?" And I'm like, "If you're going to art direct this whole thing, I'm out. I need a modeling.
Quarter turn to your right, please.
Yeah.
Listen,
it's crazy.
I'm going to tell you, your druggies are to your right, and your new druggies are to your left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, so everybody. He's on board.
Right. Yeah. Well, now it's not that was ever holding me back. But I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, a real like tobacco cigarette.
Sure.
So when I tried to smoke pot, it's always such a coughing mess that I feel embarrassed to smoke in front of anybody. Then also, the first time I smoked pot was in college, and it made me immediately hungry, and I had no money to buy food, and I was like, I don't like this. I'm already hungry and tired. Why? So I never really liked it. But then as I got older and I realized there were other ways to do it, which now you could eat candy and get high. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So now I'm into it.
Yeah, I had some candy yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
What are you eating? A gummy bear?
Well, this was a gummy bear.
Yeah.
And it was about 40 milligrams of THC.
40?
It was all right.
Yeah.
It didn't do that much to me. I got to figure out my number. You know, it's like,
right,
it's
right.
Like your sleep number. Who knows what the hell your sleep number is?
You know what?
You got to look into it.
Somebody gave me gummy bears. And then on Christmas Eve, I could probably say this now because it's early, but on Christmas Eve, I gave my dad one. And I go, "Here, try this." And he took it and he ate it. And I go, that's pot. And I walked away. And I just left him hanging. And then my dad, who's a big Italian guy, he's just cooking and all that. At one point, he was sitting in the kitchen like this with his hands on his legs.
Just staring.
And I just lost my mind. And then I'm high laughing at him because I've crippled him. And the other day, he was telling the story to my wife because we didn't tell anybody. And my father's like, I haven't been high since I was in Istanbul in the Navy 50 years ago, you know? So it's fun when you could bring generations together.
Absolutely. I think any old person that's not at least doing edibles, you know, some sort of weed thing, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they don't. They don't. They just, someone needs to tell them.
Yeah, and for real, the CBD oil with, you know, older people with any kind of chronic pain and all the inflammation and stuff, it definitely helps.
Yeah, it's terrific. They, you know, especially since they don't have to work or whatever, they could be as high as they want all day long.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, they have this place called Trulieve here, which is a medical marijuana place. It's like one of the only ones. And I went there with my wife, and we were checking, I don't know, she's in the medical health field, but I could not stand the people in the lobby. That was enough to make me never want to be associated with it again. It was like everybody I ever hated from high school who was a pothead all joined me that day in the lobby, and they were all talking behind me, and it was all like stereotypical. When we went to see the Dead, and I'm like, this can't be real. You're not really talking about the Grateful Dead in a pod place. Yeah, that's what, and I just sat there on my phone tweeting about how miserable I was. But anyway.
Thank God for tweeting.
Yeah, right?
Get it off your chest.
Gowan got suspended for the first time.
Yeah.
We can't figure out why.
No idea why. It wasn't like I tweeted out anything offensive or anything like that. I mean, look through my timeline. I was like, there's nothing there. Just all of a sudden, I was suspended for 12 hours. So wait, I don't know whether somebody...
Wait, was it 12 hours during which this show happens?
No. It was overnight last night. Like, we couldn't figure out what was going on.
What kind of punishment is that? Yeah. Hey, when you're not at work, you can't come to work. See you in a few hours.
It was weird. I don't know whether somebody turned me in for something or what happened.
The rats. That's the problem. It's Twitter's new generation of rats.
Yeah. Oh, you got suspended from Twitter. I thought you meant from your job.
Oh, no.
Because
no.
Everybody's losing their jobs because of what they write on
Twitter.
Right,
right. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. You got just suspended
from Twitter.
For 12 hours.
For 12 hours.
Like a cooling off period for you. Like
I guess.
A time out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one of those, but yeah, it seems kind of random. Like,
it would be
all
understandable.
You need is somebody to report you, and they just go ahead and do it.
But it would be understandable if it was something that I was like, oh, yeah, that was definitely over the line, and they got me on it and stuff. But I didn't tweet anything bad, and I was like, this is weird all of a sudden.
At the same time, people are constantly attacking me, making Photoshop and pictures of big D's coming out of my ears and stuff, and nobody ever gets in trouble for that stuff. I'm like, whatever. I'll live through it.
Because you don't report them.
No, I don't. I don't care.
You're not on there being a narc.
Doug Benson is going to be at the Improv. He will be there tonight, one night only, at 8 o'clock. Now, will you just be doing stand-up tonight? Are you recording anything?
No. Well, I record part of the end of the show. I always play games from my movie podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Mm. Audience members at my stand-up shows, they still come, prepared for,
right, they know
for
what's coming.
Movie trivia. Uh-huh. So I play a game with audience members where I get a bunch of people up on stage, and... And then I record that part for a little spin-off podcast I do called Doug Loves Minis.
Are you making tons of money on this?
I do all right. It's you know.
Give me an example of all right. Like, what kind of car are you driving?
No car.
Oh
yeah.
Car. Where do you live in the city?
In Los Angeles, I just live right in the middle of it, and I just
Uber everywhere,
or if I have some, you know, big thing I need to do driving-wise, I just rent a car.
How great is that Uber allows us to not own our own vehicles these days?
It's pretty cool, and I like walking places, and I'm on the road a lot, so whatever town I'm in, I'll just walk everywhere.
Really?
You know, and some places it's, you know, it's awesome, like New York, obviously, and of course, Ybor City, it's got everything you could need. Like, I'll just be walking down the street going, you know what, I'm going to get 3 tattoos today, one at each of these places.
Sure.
on this one block.
and if you feel like getting stabbed, keep walking.
Oh my God, yeah. It's everything you'd want.
Yeah.
In an afternoon,
horrible
or
pizza
evening.
And 3 tattoos.
If you want to see dudes sitting around smoking cigars,
yep.
It's a great place to be.
Have you seen the shoe licker yet?
No, what's that?
Oh boy.
There's a Ybor City shoe licker. Who may genuinely be one of the only, one of the bright spots of Tampa. He is a kid. I don't know. I say he is a kid. He's probably in his 30s. He's Hispanic maybe with an afro. And he just wants to lick your shoes or your feet and dirty. Like, so a lot of times he'll be like, hey,
there
drop.
He is on both
yeah, that's
feet.
Him. Okay. He'll be like, you drop something. And when he'll go down there and you'll be like, oh, what'd I drop? And he'll go down and lick your shoe and then run away.
Yeah.
That's him.
And it's just men's shoes.
He won't lick women's.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Well, keep your eyes open. If you see him and you ask him, he'll probably lick your shoe for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's sad. At one time he was singing for Rage Against the Machine and now he's licking
he
shoes.
He doesn't look like that, dude. Look, there he goes. Bottom too.
Yeah,
licks it all.
Yeah, and he doesn't.
What is that?
He doesn't drink anything after either. He doesn't seem.
Oh my!
He's really getting into it.
Yeah, man.
That is horrendous. He loves that.
Yeah, he's right back to his beverage. Yeah. Guess he needs. That's probably why he's walking around with a drink because he needs to wash it. You know, get
I
don't, that.
So
I
gross.
Gotta tell you, there's acid that wouldn't clean that off. Anyway, where do you stay when you come here? Are you staying in Ybor? No, right?
Yeah, no, I stay
you
right
stay
there.
Stay in
Ybor.
The heart of Ybor so you
yeah,
can walk everywhere?
Get the roosters waking me up.
That's
every
right.
Day.
That's right.
I heard they voted to keep them.
They did. They did. I'm still
love
surprised.
That.
I've been here since 1989. I'm still surprised when I go there and I see it. I go, what is this? What's going on here?
They're just cruising around. There's even outside the hotel, there's like a mother. Chicken with a sitting on a bunch of eggs.
In my knowledge of being here so long, I've seen people get stabbed in Ybor, No one's ever hurt one of those chickens.
Right. You like, never see somebody kick.
Yeah, or you never hear a story about, I guess you can't catch them. You never hear a story about the chickens getting hurt.
Yeah, they're definitely, they move away from you when you try to, when you walk towards them. But you'd think that, like, you know, a fast moving homeless dude would kill one, but then I guess they wouldn't know how to prepare it.
No, there's nowhere to
They just have a dead rooster.
I'm sure you could show up at a couple of restaurants in Ybor with a dead chicken and be like, you know, man. Yeah, somebody will cook it up for you.
But yeah, they really own the Ybor area, and it's crazy.
Now, let me tell you, how much do you really love movies? Have you always been a movie buff?
Yeah, I've just, that was always the driving thing for me in, you know, my career was that I wanted to do, always wanted to do something movie related. So,
yeah.
You know, I started out early in college and post-college being like a film critic and writing a lot about movies. And then, you know, eventually once I was living in Hollywood, I started to be in them. I like, started to be an extra in movies,
right,
and a stand-in. And now every once in a while I get a small part. And then I've had this podcast for 12 years called Doug Loves Movies, where I just bring people on, comedians and actors mostly. And everybody comes out and we just talk about movies for a little bit, and then the back half of the show is all just movie trivia games that I come up with that I play with the
right.
guests.
We actually, you're looking at some big-time movie stars here.
Mm-hmm.
We are on about an hour and a half worth of sleep. We were out on the set with Kevin Smith, who's filming his movie in Sarasota last night.
Oh, nice.
Until, like, yeah, it was not. It was a great idea until about 4:45 this morning. I was like, why? What were we thinking?
Well, I could see. I understand now why you brought in such a hyper guest this morning. to make up for your energy.
Back
of it.
I have to tell you, I don't think I can handle that today. If Bert was here or somebody that survived, I'd be like, I can't do this today. Yeah. So, what was the first movie you were in?
You take your shirt off and you just go to sleep on those pillows.
What was the first movie you were in where you were like, I can't believe I'm here. I've done it. I've made it. Little Doug has made it to where he wanted to be.
Well, you know, it was, it started back when I was, you know, in my early 20s, I managed to be an extra in Blade Runner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that was pretty neat. Me and it's the scene where Harrison Ford is, it took 5 nights to shoot, the scene where he's chasing the red-headed robot lady down the street to murder her before she falls through all the glass.
Right.
And we figured out, me and my buddy figured out that when we were extras on the set, that if you got in Harrison Ford's way while he was running, he was super method about it, and he would, like, totally shove you. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, awesome. Get really physical with you. Yeah, this is the scene right here. And and so that was, like our thing, was just
trying to get
Harrison Ford there. At one point, my friend, Harrison Ford, actually, like, grabbed him and, like, threw him up against the bus, like, to get him out of the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's really, really into it.
That's got to be so awesome. You move to Hollywood, you're an extra, and all of a sudden you're on a movie with Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but, you know, you're outside in the middle of the night. And it's not, even though it's California, it's a chilly night, and they're doing fake rain on you the entire time. And all of the other extras are, you know, you've seen the movie, they're like actual Asians and actual punk kids were the other extras. So we were like just these two, you know, young white guys standing around this really weird, you know, we got a taste of what L.A. was going to be like.
That's pretty awesome. We did that one time where we were extras in Steve Byrne's show, Sullivan and Son. Basically, we learned that Hollywood guys just like to eat. That's all you. That's all they do is just sit around until it's, they waste time until it's time to. They have to feed everybody.
Yeah, they take an hour to eat.
Yeah.
Like
every certain amount of hours.
If I were on a movie set and I could go home an hour earlier if I just eat a slice of pizza on the go
and keep
working.
Yeah.
But no, they got to stop.
Stop and break it down.
Make a whole thing. And then they have, you know, craft service or crafty. They like to call it
air quotes.
I put some air quotes on that for you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that Steve Martin factoid.
Right?
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I heard that you travel. You're traveling with your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? How long have you been with her?
since so first girlfriend I've had in forever, because I for a long time I was just like, I don't want to have kids, so I also don't need a, you know, a one relationship, you know.
Right.
I don't need monogamy.
Uh-huh. Which is true, especially if you're on the road all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody, and some guys pull it off, especially the ones that have kids, but yeah. If you're a road comic, you know, half the time you're missing the person that you're
yeah.
you know, because you're gone. And then, you know, then there's also the, you know, your spouse or significant other wants you to make money,
yeah.
but they also don't want you to leave, all the time.
Oh, you figured out marriage already.
Yeah, exactly.
that's it.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, it's just very taxing for everybody involved. So I was just really footloose and fancy free for a long time. And then I met this girl in March. I'd kind of known her for a couple of years, but, you know, just Twitter occasional message or something.
Occasional naked little nipple, little D-shot.
No, no. I mean, she was in a relationship for part of it.
Perfect.
Part of the time that I was flirting with her, and then, but then once she was free and clear,
snatched it up.
I got in there, it worked out.
Nice.
And we've been together ever since.
How long has that been?
Since March.
Are you thinking now?
So it's new.
Maybe I will get married. Maybe I do want kids.
No, because she doesn't want kids. So that was part of the allure.
How old is she though?
Not old enough to know whether or not she can make that decision.
You gotta take that into consideration, Doug.
Yeah, she's definitely could turn a corner and be like, "I changed my mind."
That's right.
I watch this more than anything.
Special on TV. This woman made me feel guilty for having a uterus that worked, and now I feel like I should have a kid. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but she's a real animal lover, so I'm really pushing her in that direction.
What do you want to get? I just got a tortoise.
Did you really?
That's the animal to get.
Why? What is it?
Because it's in the backyard. You're done. Yeah. I had a dog. Gave it up.
Throw it in the backyard.
Weeks.
Forget about it.
Yep.
Don't worry about it.
Every once in a while, when you're eating dinner, you come across a salad and you go, "Oh, we never fed the tortoise." That's it. And you run out and you throw some lettuce at it, and it's done.
It loves.
No, I'm just kidding. I love that thing. It does. It's just like me. It just hangs out and eats. It's perfect. Dogs are too much attention. I already have kids. I don't need more things that I have
no,
to worry
it's
about.
It's true. The dogs, you know, the good dogs especially, you know, nobody wants an aloof dog.
No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You want them to love you, but hey, when on my time,
right.
On my terms.
Doug Benson is here with us. He's got a show at the Improv. One show tonight, 8 o'clock, 864-4000 if you want to go. I believe there are some tickets left. And if you're a fan of the podcast, you know his fans will come out to see him. So don't wait and buy them at the door. You might want to get them in advance. I have to bring something up to you that was very uncomfortable for me that didn't even involve me.
Really?
It was listening to Opie and Jim Norton fight.
Oh, yeah.
And then your name came up in that. Uh-huh. I'm sure you heard about that. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
How awkward was that for you?
It wasn't terrible because I kind of was friendly with those guys kind of in a separate way because I'd known Jim from stand-up comedy for a long time.
Right.
And then I started going in on that show, and that's how I got to know Opie, and they were already kind of in a weird spot
with
each other.
They already hated each other.
From the minute I started doing the show, but I really loved riffing with both of them.
Right.
Like, and I loved doing it, you know, and I didn't notice that, you know, there wasn't too much friction usually, but but yeah, there was a point where I just, you know how you can know a guy for a while, mm-hmm. and you just think, oh, that guy, you know, he's like not too cool, but I just like don't think of him as like somebody I could. I just wasn't comfortable yet saying to him, "Hey, come do my podcast," because I just see him on the you know, Opie and Jimmy show,
right.
And but so at one point, Jim just sort of felt like, you know, why isn't Doug asking me to be on his podcast?
Yeah.
You know, like kind of like I was, you know, slighting him.
Yeah.
When in my mind, I was more like, oh, it's just kind of I don't know if it's something he would enjoy doing.
And I can totally relate to that because some people who are like famous people will go, how come you never have me on your show? I go, I'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to call you up on a Wednesday and be like, you want to come on my show tomorrow? You know,
yeah.
What I mean? Like if you're friends with somebody like, you know, Dave Bautista
yeah.
from the guard, like he lives here. So I'd want him to come on every time he's in the news, every time he has a movie, but I don't want to bother him all the time, right. You know? So I'm always like, whenever you want, you let me know. So I figured when I heard them say that, that was probably the case.
Yeah, it was just we weren't communicating because we were just, all of our talking we do on the air. I'd be on the air with them for like 3 hours, yeah. You know? And I would just like, and I would just think, this doesn't seem like something, he doesn't seem to be into movie trivia, you know? But he was sitting there offended, and so I get that. But he was kind of like giving me a little bit of a cold shoulder. And I said to Opie, I go, hey, what's up with Jim? And Opie's like, I can't tell you, like, what's up with Jim. Like, he wouldn't want me to tell you. And I was like, well, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And he was like, he thinks you should ask him to be on his podcast. Don't tell him I said. And, you know, and I always give Opie credit for that. That patched everything up because as soon as I went to Jim and said, hey, do you want to be on Douglas Movies? He said yes, and it's been smooth sailing ever since. We both do each other's shows because now he's on with Sam Roberts. Yeah. So I go on there all the time. And, you know, it worked out great.
I just
ultimately.
But
then I was in the – when they were – talking about everything,
yeah.
My name came up.
I know, it's great. It's great because we're friends with them, and most radio guys like hate each other, but we all like each other.
Sure.
And I heard that, and then you know you start hearing things that you know about. And then when they brought your name, I was like, oh, poor Doug Benson just got dragged into this thing. He did nothing to do nothing. And I figured, I'm like, just from a guy who's been in that position of inviting people on the show, I figured that's what it was. You don't want to be like, hey, we want to come do – I just did your show for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Now do you want to come do my show? You're like, maybe I then, you know, then you weren't in the same place or
– Yeah, it just didn't – you know, I was definitely – it was brewing. Like, I was getting to a point where I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to – I think I am going to ask him to be on.
Right.
And then I found out that he was mad that I had no
People are also such babies, including me. I'm the biggest
baby.
Oh,
yeah. All of us are. That's why we're
– I need constant – I'm like a princess. I want constant attention and adoration from everybody.
Yeah, that should have been on that poll for why do you are you in radio.
Yeah.
The answer
yeah,
should be because I'm like a princess. Right.
Have you ever been in a group where it's a bunch of radio people? Oh, man, is it annoying.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've had, you know, I get really friendly with morning radio folk and have a lot of fun on their show. And then I'll invite them to be on one of my shows in front of an audience at night in that market or whatever. And especially when they have like two or more from the same morning radio show.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Becomes hokey.
It just doesn't connect because you know, they'll come on and they'll just sort of feel like they got to behave like comedians instead of just, I just want them to do their morning radio thing.
Right.
Just be yourself.
Right.
And, you know, and so there's been some uncomfortable ones where the audience sort of rejects the radio people.
I love that. I love that.
So there's been some awkward episodes.
Who do you like? What radio guys you like?
You know, it's a lot of fun to do Preston and Steve in Philadelphia.
Philly,
and Kevin and Bean out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of them. BJ Shea in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, BJ. But I don't. That's the first one of the first things I cut out of my promotional diet was morning radio.
Yeah,
you know, like
I get it. It's the absolute worst thing to have to stay up late doing a show, then go home and be like, well, finally, I get to sleep. Only to have some person that smells like cigarettes that you don't know come wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be like, now we got to go talk to some yahoos you don't know. And the worst is that years ago, I used to go by the name Cowhead. So if you don't know me and you show up in a city and they're like, hey, tomorrow morning you have to do Cowhead. You're like, Jesus Christ, why am I not doing this?
This would be great.
And then, no, it's cool because when you're done with Cowhead, we're going to take you to talk to these two old yentas on TV on the network at the local NBC station. And you're going to cook with the chef from a restaurant. You're like, I'm out of this crap, man. I get it, man. I totally get it.
There's a morning TV show called... you know, good morning, or I want to say wake up Portland. No, but it's in Portland, and I do it every time that I go through because you know, it's Portland.
Yeah.
So they don't, you know, even though the only people watching are probably like soccer moms, they don't care that I'm just high out of my mind. and they do the pet segments and the cooking segments, and they do, just yeah. do all the normal morning
there.
Show crap, but with me high out of my mind. it's so much fun. And but normally the morning television is even worse than morning radio.
Because you got to be presentable, too.
Yeah, and it's only the segment's only like 4 or 5 minutes long, and they interview you, and they don't know anything about you, so they ask questions like, tell us about your comedy, or what can people expect from your show tonight, you know, and you're just like, me talking.
Have you ever seen stand-up before?
You know, it's not going to be anything that crazy.
What's worse, that or radio shows that are like, hey, write down a couple of starter bits.
Oh, my God. Bob and Tom.
Every comedian
says it. They give you a list with 10 blank spaces. Give us 10 things to bring up that would lead you into jokes. I couldn't possibly, like, you know, 15 minutes later, he goes, so, you like dogs? Yeah. I'm like, I forgot what I wrote down. I don't know what you're setting me up for. Yeah, dogs are great.
Doug, do you know Kung Fu?
Yeah.
I don't think that you... I mean, obviously, Bob and Tom are wildly successful, or were in their day. But how do you? I don't know. That's like I was always surprised by comedians who had other comedians write their jokes. Well, then those guys are the comedians. You're just, you know what I mean. It's different if you're a writing partner. But like, yeah. I don't need you. If I need you to give me the things I'm supposed to ask you, then what is my job?
I like the system with stand-up comedy of like comics will suggest things to each other. But basically, we all write our own stuff.
Right. You know? Or if you sat there with each other and riff.
Exactly.
Different, you
yeah,
know?
You could come up with stuff together.
Right.
But certainly, yeah, you just, it's an odd concept to me for somebody to have writers. But then when it comes to Bob and Tom, like, you know, they were nice to me, and I have a good time being in there with them and doing it. But at the same time, they'll have, you know, 2, 3, 4 comics on every single day and say all of their plugs repeatedly throughout the show. And it just, you know, started feeling more and more to me like, well, this isn't doing anything for me. This is making a great radio show for you guys.
Yeah.
But it's not going to help me sell tickets.
No.
You know, because people already like me. We'll just
find
already have tickets and then listen to me on Bob and Tom as well, you know.
Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, as a radio guy, I can relate to what you were saying before about being up on stage with comedians doing your podcast. We were in Montreal a couple weeks ago for the comedy festival, and we did our show. And then when we were done, Jim and Sam go on for another hour. So I walked in to go see them, and I walked in. The minute I walked in, I'm right in front of them. They're like, hey, Mike. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, we'll go to break, and we'll come back. Mike, come sit with us. I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. So then we come back from break, and the producer comes over, and he goes, all right, you ready? In 2 minutes, we're going to go back. I go, okay. And I look over, and it's Joe Coy. What's that guy, the little guy from that particular movie? Brad Williams was probably there. I didn't see him.
Oh, Chris Gethard?
Yeah. Chris DeStefano and the Carr, Jimmy Carr.
Oh,
and I start to walk over and I go, no. And I back away. And he goes, no, go ahead. I go, no. I go, come on. This is not the time for me to go wedge myself in between Jimmy Carr and Chris DeStefano and be like, hello, chip, let's tell some jokes. You know, I was like, nope. I certainly wasn't afraid to do it, but you just certain places where you don't belong, and that was not one of the places where I belong.
Well, that's a real murderer's row of comics that are all just going to, you know.
Oh, plus, I'll turn and snap Joe Coy's neck if he's trying to make fun of me. I'll be like, hey, Joe Coy, I don't have that. I will rip your half-gay head right off and throw it at Jimmy Carr if I have to.
Which half is gay? The Filipino half?
I was going with the top half. I actually like him a lot. I just know.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah. If he would have got carried away, I would have been like, right off the side.
Yeah, no, but in that situation, I'm sure he was the butt of most of the jokes. And it might have shifted to you if you went in there.
Like, I would have been fine.
You were smart.
I would have been fine being the butt of the joke if the joke was funny. And like Jimmy Carr, he intimidates me a little bit because he's so dry.
He's very dry.
Right. But I also find him to be very amusing, so I would have taken all the heat. But if Chris DeStefano and that dumb Guinea, New York thing tried to get at me, I would have got up and kicked him in his teeth. I would have been like, slow down, Bronx. It ain't happening. But that's why I was smart enough to know, not going to do it. Not going to hang out there.
All right.
Favorite movie.
Good move.
Of all time. You could do top three if you want to, because it's very hard to do one.
It's very hard to do three. I always stall out on these questions because there's just so many things I love.
That's what I
love about movies.
Yeah, if you ask me next week, I'll always have one or two consistent ones, but then depending
that's
on what
something
I can think
that's
of.
More recent is a big one for you.
Oh, man, more recent. What's the one that I love that movie that you hated, the Florida parking lot movie?
Florida Project. Dirty Kids in a Parking Lot.
Oh, I love Florida Project.
Kids in the parking lot.
I mean, you literally could just set up a camera in a Walmart parking lot anywhere here.
No, that's that part of what I liked about it is how real it was. Like, those people were acting, but it seemed real.
It hurt me. I grew up as a poor kid, not that poor, but watching it, I was like, these kids, this is life for a lot of those people in Orlando. And those kids, that kid was such a good actor. And that was the first time that she had acted. And the same thing with the mother. And I was like, and then the mother with the Craigslist stuff, I was like, this is so disturbing and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, it's very unsettling, but also heartwarming, strangely. Mm-hmm. The ending is sad and uplifting at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's really a weird movie. And Willem Dafoe, though, like, I was grateful that he was in it.
Because, he was great.
But also it just reminds you that it's a movie.
Right.
Because
a
known person is in it. You know, like, if he hadn't been in there, just been like, did they just film these weirdos?
Who are these
people?
Did
they just go to this Purple Castle Hotel and just start shooting?
I'm sure there's somebody that looks like Willem Dafoe working at one of those places. Changing air conditioning filters.
Say what you want, but that's no Mission Impossible. I'll tell you what, that is a fantastic new film.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, so good.
It's nonstop
Mission Impossible.
Tom Cruise craziness.
Yeah.
Like,
amazing.
He is really determined to be the best action star, of the universe.
Right.
Like, it's just... It's nuts.
Yeah,
there's nuts. I don't know what there is to care about. Like, I don't really care if his character lives or dies.
Yeah.
But he does throw himself into it. It's pretty amazing.
One movie that totally ruined it for me, and all of us mostly in this room that we talk about, is ever since I was a kid, who doesn't love Star Wars? After the last Star Wars movie, I don't even care about the next one anymore. Well, I don't care about the next one that's going to involve Mark Hamill. He ruined that whole last Star Wars movie for us.
Well, also, you know, Mark Hamill didn't want to play that part that way.
Right.
Like, he disagreed with it, but he did it because
he didn't do it very well.
Was being trying to be professional. Yeah.
He was horrendous, and he ruined that whole movie. And now at the end of that thing, I don't even know what there is to look forward to.
Well, did you like Rogue One?
Yes.
Well, then more of that.
That's what I'm saying. You show me movies.
They'll
I even liked the
Solo
movie. I thought was good.
All right. Well, so you'll be back in.
Thank you. I feel better now.
I think you'll make it.
You still don't.
I'm mad at the Marvel Universe I don't want to watch another Marvel movie if they're really going to keep James Gunn fired from Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's
the dumbest thing ever.
I know. Galvin got suspended for way.
Yeah. Why can't they just suspend Gunn from that movie for 12 hours?
Right.
So it was.
Or don't they give him a Twitter punishment?
A cooling off period. The thing was that we always talk about this, and somebody pointed out on a meme how racist Disney used to be, and how could Disney have the balls to go ahead and suspend somebody for something they said. We were talking about this last night. Things that we did 5 years ago on the show that we could never do now.
Couldn't do.
Yeah.
We'd be in so much trouble. Just the community would kick us off the radio.
Yeah, it's like Disney never saw James Gunn's movies before his Guardians. Like, all of his movies had very shocking material.
And he says that. I was younger. Yeah. I was trying to troll. I was trying to shock people. Yeah, there's your racist.
Yeah, and then
Disney.
Here's Song of the South.
Yeah.
Hey, Bluebird. Come on, walk down the road with me.
And there's no reason to name any names, but there's so many people that are also working for Disney that have done worse things than writing some weird tweets.
Yeah.
So, I get the tweets were really good at hurting lots of different communities.
Right.
He did spread it around.
A lot of flags.
Spread around quite a bit. So.
Had he not been famous, they would have swarmed his house a couple of times, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was bad, but he's such a great guy, and he's been on Doug Loves Movies a few times, and I love those Guardians movies.
Batista loved him from the first movie. He came in, he was like, "Man, you know that guy?" I go, "No." He goes, "He's one of the best guys you'll ever meet." Blah blah blah. And I'm so glad to see that they are standing by him.
Especially Batista. Like, he's saying he might just not do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they could sue him, but I don't think that looks good for Disney.
He said he'll take care of his, he'll go through his contract, and then he's done, he said. But really, Pratt's the one that's got the pull.
Yeah.
If he steps up and says, I will not be Star-Lord anymore, then that's when everybody craps their pants. They got a lot of action figures.
Yeah, he signed that letter that's a strongly worded letter, but we'll see what happens next. And then the other odd thing is that Marvel has said, well, we might work with James Gunn on another project down the line. It's like, what? This is the project.
Yeah.
Right. It's a trilogy, and he created the first two parts, and he's written the script. And they're like, we're going to use his script. Oh, that's so gracious of you to use
his script.
You
know, the same hand that wrote those tweets wrote that script.
I don't know what. What's the difference between him being the writer or the director or both? Like, either fire him or don't.
Yeah,
it's bizarre. It's
stop trying to skirt the issue, Doug. What are your favorite movies? I need to know.
Oh, well, okay. Guardians 1, Guardians 2.
Pulp Fiction. I'll throw categories at you. What's your favorite superhero type movie?
Probably Deadpool.
Deadpool's pretty good.
Yeah.
Deadpool's pretty good.
What about sci-fi?
He's in Blade Runner.
Yeah, that's true.
Stargate was pretty good.
Maybe Close Encounters.
Close Encounters is a great movie, but it's unfulfilling. I need to know, like, how did they not do it? Like, I love this whole come up with the next movie 30 years later. Like, we're ready now. Steven Spielberg, we've got way more movie technology.
Ricky Dreyfuss is still around.
That's right. Yeah.
Let's have him tumble out of that spaceship and tell us about the probing. I went in there. I thought it was going to be nice. They were really friendly until I got in there.
It was rough.
It was 30 years of probing.
Oh,
what is your favorite prison movie with a black and white lead?
Oh. But, I get what you're saying about it being unfulfilling. And Spielberg did a special edition where he filmed some more stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just longer walking in and looking around in the spaceship. You get to see what the inside of it looks like.
Right.
It looks terribly impractical. Like, what are they even doing
this
in there?
Glass?
Their beautiful glass spaceship.
Is this
the hidden fortress? Is Superman going to come in and learn some stuff about his dad?
In the 70s, is that all they had for space? Glass? This is what they're going to do?
Yeah. So that was weird. And also, you know, because they just did a reissue of it. So I got to speak to some people who'd seen Close Encounters with new eyes, from today's perspective.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, he just leaves his family to go into space?
Do you know, I try to run these things past my wife, but my wife won't. She's 40 now, but we've been together for a while, but she won't watch anything, as she calls it, from the dirty 80s. Like, if it's not like a Breakfast Club type movie, I made her watch The Warriors one time, and you would think that I was, it was the equivalent of beating her. She's like, please don't do this to me anymore. And I'm like, just watch it. It's good. And you know, if it's not visually stimulating, she's not into it.
Yeah. And that movie is good, but it's not as great as you want it to be when you rewatch it, because it's got the pace is too slow.
Yeah. Dreyfuss is great, though.
Yeah.
He's great in that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, now we're talking about Close Encounters.
Warriors.
I was saying Warriors is a little slow, and also that lead guy is terrible.
Yes. That's true. But once
the Xanadu guy.
Once the lesbians come through with their...
Yeah. And just the iconic, just seeing those dudes with the baseball bats,
the Furies.
Like those guys look so cool. But we did a screening a few years ago where we just watched Warriors, but the most of the audience was comedians.
Uh-huh.
And so we'd occasionally, yell stuff out. It's pretty it's pretty mockable. But also the classic scene where The dude is clicking the bottles together and say,
"Right, but you have to know that. You have to know those references for the future. Like I try to teach that to my kids. You don't have to watch the whole movie; just watch the scene. It's going to come up at some point.
By the way, that guy, that actor who was in
David Patrick Kelly,
Was also in Remember Dreamscape.
Uh huh.
That is like prime for a remake now.
That was one of the first PG-13 movies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Really.
That was a really good movie. I like that. That whole concept of going into people's dreams and then trying to assassinate the president in his dream.
They tried to remake Flatliners and that didn't work out very well.
That was all right.
Yeah, it was because you didn't see the first one.
Oh, was that the one with what's his face, Sutherland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the first one.
You did?
Yeah.
And you liked the new one?
I mean, it was good. It was the same movie, basically. And then they had like Kiefer Sutherland was in there. He's like, by the way, I'm a teacher now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a professor at the school, and he's like,
that makes it better.
I know what you guys are doing down in the basement. Uh-huh. Don't do it. Bad things will happen.
Me and Julia Roberts.
Spoiler alert, bad things happen anyways.
You med students, man. You're not a party. Doug Benson is here hanging out with us. This guy says he was on, I don't know if this guy went on vacation with you. He was on a cruise with you. Matthew, you're on with Doug Benson.
What's up, Doug? Yeah, we were on a 311 cruise, the last 311 cruise together.
You speak. And, you hear. You understand what this mumble mouth is saying?
311 cruise.
Yeah. Well, I've done. I'm about to go on next March. I'm going to go on my fifth 311 cruise.
You love 311, or they just pay you to go on the cruise?
Both. Both. They get paid to go on a cruise and hang out with 311 and their fans. And like this dude that's on the phone right now, that their fans are amazing. Like I can't move like 2 feet without
somebody passing me something.
I would imagine
either weed or a disease.
Yeah.
No, they're really, it's a really friendly group that goes on that cruise. And it's a lot of the same people.
Annoying? Like this guy, it seems like he'd get kind of annoying after the first
super. You're a super nice guy. Right, Matt?
Oh, you know it, Doug. You did your show, I'm about a 300-pound guy who you gave about a 100-pound guy shirt to, and Incredible Hulk did, and tore it in front of the whole crowd. And had you dying laughing. And then
that sounds like something that would happen at one of my shows. Yeah, that's awesome.
I played poker, and you kicked my butt.
Oh, I did?
Oh, yeah. Took about 200 from me.
Oh, no.
Wow. Well, hey.
Let's
so high, I don't think he remembered what was going on.
You're
going
to beat him up as he's walking back from the improv tonight. And get
are you
going to
be a... Oh, well, you know, that's... I'll probably get stabbed anyway. What, are you going on the next cruise in next March?
Yeah, I just got my tickets. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you'll get another chance to win that 200 bucks back.
Good luck,
sir.
All right,
brother.
All right, thanks for calling.
So you go? Is that the only cruise you do, the 311 cruise?
No, I've really gotten into rock cruises. Like 311 was one of the first ones I did, but I've done a couple of Weezer cruises, Paramore.
What is this alternate universe?
Paramore is called Parahoy.
Get me on Parahore. I'll go on that cruise.
Oh, yeah. And then what was it? Oh, train. I did a train cruise, which is that expression is hilarious.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Train cruise. which is it? Impractical Jokers, they have an annual cruise. Yeah. So that was super fun. Kreischer was on that. Yeah. And Ari Shaffir. So I got to see one man's belly and another man's dong.
You know, Bert gets naked so much since we know him that... I forgot what we did. We did something where we drew penises. I think we were trying to guess what somebody's penis looked like, so we all drew what we thought it would look like. And I was telling my wife about it, and I showed her the pictures, and she goes, "Oh, that one looks like Bert's." And I go, "That's how naked Bert's been in front of us."
Oh, it was with Robert Kelly.
Yeah. And I'm like, "That you're now recognizing Bert naked is amazing to me. I don't even think she could draw mine, to be honest with you, if she had to." Now, when you go on
these... I bet you women are, in general, are terrible at drawing those.
Yeah, dongs. They don't really know what the package is.
They don't spend any time staring at it.
Mine's open for
viewing. They work around it.
Yeah. You want to study mine? I'll let you look at it all you want. When you go on these cruises, was this pre-girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
So was this good for you?
Some cruises I'd take a date or a girl, somebody to hang with.
You'd bring one?
Yeah, sometimes.
They got 3,000 people on a boat that you could bang.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. There's lots of people who are already coupled up, or they're, you know, groups of four women, and, you know, the worst woman in that group is not going to let the best one out of her sight. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
I was thinking the trickle-down effect where it'd be like, we're going to bang 311, and you're like, oh, we can't. Well, bang the comedian.
No, it's definitely, you definitely have some options for sure, but it's more limited than you'd imagine. You know, it's easy to get, you know, to just think, oh, I'll be set, but then, you know, sometimes you don't. You, nothing happens till the fourth night.
Brings
a whole. You got to really work somebody over for a few days.
Yeah.
Then you get like a makeout session on the last night, and then the next day you leave, and you're like, well, the next time I'm in that person's town, because they're always from somewhere.
Right.
That I might show up later.
That's pretty in Portland. And you're like, we're already at first base. So now
that's the only reason Doug went on the train cruise. He was like, oh, I thought it was something different. I didn't know it was the band.
Well, I always hear about dudes like will go, single men will go on like a New Kids on the Block cruise. Because it's going to be all, like you were saying, it's going to be all ladies who are just really
think they're going to bang Donnie.
Worked up for the, you know, the guys in the band, and then they are in their own private area on the ship the whole time.
Yeah.
So, so these dudes can could swoop in. You know, it's not a terrible plan.
No, I guess if you're young and good looking, or like older and good looking, like you'd be in their age range. I don't know. I went to. See, I took my wife to see New Kids on the Block, and she loved them when she was a kid recently, and I realized that it is nothing more than like a Chippendale show, and those kids are brilliant, or guys.
Yeah.
That at first I was like, oh, this is so sad that they're out doing this again. Then you go out into a sold-out 20,000-person venue, and 18,000 of them are women that want to still do dirty stuff with you, and I thought, these guys are brilliant. I don't know what I was thinking. Good for them.
Yeah, and they, you know. They dance around.
Yeah, that's the gyrating.
Take the shirts off.
They put on a show. I you know, I'd sit there. Which band is it? Is it? It's Backstreet Boys that shows up in that Dream Seekers with Seth Rogen at the end of.
Yes,
This is the end.
Yeah, that's
I love that.
Yeah,
I'd see that.
Yeah,
I'd see a whole show of that.
All right, Doug Benson is going to be at the Improv tonight. One show, 8 o'clock, 864-4000 or improvtampa.com. I'm glad you finally came in, man. Thank
you. This has been great.
I hope so. I hope you liked it. I hope you don't go home and go, oh, that was a waste of time.
Well, you know, Bert has talked you up to me for years. And, you know, and I think like the last time I came through, there was just some sort of, I just didn't work it out in time. But, I'm happy to be here and I'll come see you anytime I'm around.
Yeah, we won't ask you to write down 10 things we could start talking to you about.
These cruises go out of Tampa.
Well, come on.
The next 311 goes out of Tampa, and here's the crazy thing. I'm doing a five-night cruise with 311 and then staying on the same ship the next day for four more nights with the Trailer Park Boys cruise.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the first Trailer Park Boys cruise. So I'm going to be on the weed cruise and then a booze cruise, and it's going to be interesting to see how I come out at the other end.
That's so funny. We who's the dude that we had in here that died from the Trailer Park Boys? The old guy.
Yeah, Leahy.
Yeah. He came in. He was a nice guy. He was funny.
Super nice dude. That's the only sad part about them. You know, now doing a cruise is that he would have had a blast.
Yeah,
John Dunsworth is his name. He would have had a nice time, but they're going to have Randy and all the other guys. And,
so I won't say who, but I know, because I don't know who's married and who's not, but I know one of the Trailer Park Boys that last time they did a stage show here banged a really hot girl from here.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, those guys are getting ass. This really works out. This really works out. A little fame is all you need.
Yeah, no, those guys are extremely popular.
Yeah.
Like, the people who like them are super. I've got my Trailer Park Boys hoodie on. I appeared for three episodes as myself. In episodes where they tried to start a casino in their trailer park that was, you could smoke in there, you could smoke weed.
Uh-huh.
So me and Snoop Dogg and Tom Arnold, we hear about it on the Jimmy Kimmel show, because Jimmy Kimmel loves the Trailer Park Boys.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll just show up at the trailer park and we all have various adventures.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
Yeah. Season 10 for three episodes. It's on Netflix if you want to check it out.
Doug, what's your favorite movie? You didn't tell us.
Oh, wait. I thought
you were going categories and then you stopped.
Yeah, it's so funny because I said Pulp Fiction earlier, and then now I think about it, and there's a couple scenes of Pulp Fiction that I don't like at all.
Which ones? So, I know I don't.
The scene where Bruce Willis is in the cab. After the fight, he's just talking to that lady cab driver for forever.
Yeah, it's just like, she's like, no.
Especially the first time I saw the movie, I was just like, come on, what is happening? Because every other part of that movie is so entertaining. And he also, it's all Bruce Willis. It's all his fault. Because also his girlfriend, like when he's trying to talk her into, come on, let's go, Zed's dead, let's go, baby. Right. And she's just pouting and like, that's like... I'm not thrilled with that part.
But that also made me want to date a foreign chick.
Yeah. No, she was cute, though.
Yeah.
But also this cab scene, the way it's like, you know, a fake background.
Yeah.
You know, that takes you out of it, I think. It's just weird. Tarantino, I love his movies, but he
I'm out.
He always does one or two things in each of his movies that just irritate me.
I quit, Tarantino. It's all the same thing now. I don't, at the end, everybody's going to die or everything's going to be in chaos. True Romance was a great movie that he did not... he did not direct.
Correct.
Reservoir Dogs is a great movie, and then they just I quit after a while.
You know, it's a super fun movie directed by Tony Scott, who did True Romance. Is that, and speaking of Bruce Willis, is that The Last Boy Scout?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is a, it's a messed up movie, but it's fun.
90s. It's like one of those things that define the 90s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Halle Berry is a stripper who gets murdered almost immediately.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then Damon Wayans is her boyfriend, and there's literally like two scenes later after he's learned of her death, he's like making jokes.
Acting like, he was so protective like over her that he had to watch her in the club every night.
Yeah.
But after she dies, he's like, I'm all right.
After she dies, like, no, let's have some banter.
Everybody was saying when Ray Lewis got into the Hall of Fame that the bust was Damon Wayans from Last Boy Scout. It looked a lot more like him than it did Ray Lewis.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and he's amazing with a... He throws that football pretty good. He can get it in front of a bullet.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a bullet headed over that way? I'm going to throw this ball.
No problem.
I'm going to cut it off.
How come there's nobody on a set that's a commissioner of common sense? Like, it'd be like that.
No,
like,
it gets really silly, that movie. But the way the bad guy dies is great, that somehow a helicopter can get under a person that's at the top part of a stadium. He falls into the helicopter blades. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Doug Loves Movies is the podcast. And then what's the other one? You got another podcast, don't you?
Getting high. Doug with High is a video podcast on YouTube where I just get high with people.
I want to do that because I'm not a really big getting high guy, but I wanted to do that. I usually want to do it when we get drunk because the Black Crowes did a video where they all took acid. And then they put a bunch of things like midgets and horses in the room, and then they all recorded their video while they were all tripping on acid. And I thought that was brilliant. But I'm just worried about some of the things I might say. They could ruin my career.
When you're high or drunk?
Both.
Yeah.
Even high, because I'm new to being high, so when it happens, I start freaking out a little bit. It takes me a calming down period.
But yeah, but you don't say messed up things.
I don't know. When I start getting giddy. And
that's okay.
Yeah.
We should have you and Bert on... Getting Doug with High together.
Oh, if I had...
Because Bert's now coming around. He says he'll do it, but we just got to figure out when.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, for the longest time, he couldn't do it because of his precious children.
Yeah.
But now they see him in a Speedo all the time, so what's broken the world week going to hurt?
It can't get it. They could probably draw his penis, too, really. Let's just be honest with you.
His dog can.
Yeah. Joey Diaz told me he would give me enough strong drugs to see the devil, and I don't want to do that.
Oh, my God. Joey takes those Chiba Chews that are 1,000 milligrams of chew and just eats them like candy. Like he just sits there and pops them in his mouth. And
no, I don't ever.
No problem, dog.
I don't want to be in a room where him and Ari Shaffir would sweat at the same time. I think that would be enough to knock me out.
Oh, my God. On the Impractical Jokers tour, Bert Kreischer and Ari Shaffir ran the yoga session on the... On the Lido deck.
Yeah. They ran it?
They ran it. Yeah. Bert, you know, I mean, Ari talked him through. Ari knows all the moves and stuff.
Right.
And Bert just stood next to him drinking a beer.
Hilarious. Hilarious. All right, Doug Benson, our new best friend. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
And go see him. If you want tickets, you better wait until they open up and order them now because it'll be sold out by tonight. And next time you're in town for, you know, the 311, the best 311 story? Is when Creed tried to beat them up. Do you know that story?
No.
Oh, hold on. You got to let the 311 guys tell you about this. So they were in they were both checking into a hotel at the same time, and 311 started kind of quietly mocking Creed.
Sure.
And Creed got offended by it, and then Scott Stapp, the sexy Jesus, left and went and got drunk at the bar, and they were in the bar, and then when he was drunk enough, walked up to him, and he said, and I quote, 311, it's time to fight. And tried to fight 311. That's one of the best things ever that I've ever heard. I would have given anything just to see that or have it reenacted.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, hilarious. All right, enjoy your time.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.